"What is your real age?" I asked. I had suddenly realized she would not be 23 after all. That was another ruse to keep Judah from discovering her true identity. Bella stilled.
26. I am 26.
She ran her hand over my bare torso.
And you?
24, I said. But I feel older. I feel like I have lived 1,000 lives. I leaned against the door. I'm tired, Bella. I'm so fucking tired. A brief flash of worry formed on her face. Wordlessly, she took my hand and led me to the bathroom. As usual, the bathroom was clean and fully stocked with towels and any other shit you could need. The club sluts were always seeking approval. Bella walked to the shower. She struggled with how to turn it on at first, but steam soon began to billow out into the bathroom. I inhaled the warm air and closed my eyes. Gentle hands suddenly touched the button of my leathers. I looked down. Bella pulled them down over my legs until they were off, and I stood naked before her. She lifted her hands to the straps of her dress and brought them off her shoulders. When the dress pulled at her feet, when her perfect, beautiful body was bared to me, all I could do was stare. She was so fucking perfect. So kind and so damn strong. I didn't deserve her. She took my hand and led me into the shower. I hissed as the red-hot water hit the wounds and cuts on my skin. Bella shifted me to face the spray, and I led her. Right now, I didn't want to make any decisions. I didn't want to take the lead no more. I didn't want to think. I didn't want to remember anything. The water pounded on my head. Bella's hands moved to my body. She began to wash away the remnants of today. The blood. The fucking horror of being helpless to save the innocent. I gasped, slapping my hand on the tiles for balance as the memories began to seep through the cracks in the armor around my mind. But Bella didn't stop. Her hands worked shampoo into my long hair and my beard, clearing them of the blood. So much fucking blood. Then, one by one, the faces of the dead came rushing back. The many faces, the fucking terrified faces of the children thrashing, reaching out for help, no one meeting their searching hands. The people who were shot as they tried to run away, afraid to die. The screams, the music drowning out the agony. Then there was Judah, his choked breath calling me brother, telling me he loved me as I watched his eyes lose their light, their life. Cain. Cain. His fucking silent heart. A loud, pain-filled cry shattered the silence in the shower. It wasn't until I dropped to the shower floor that I realized that the noise had come from me. My legs had given way until I sat, hunched down, under the heavy spray.
Ryder!
Bella called and dropped down beside me. My long, wet hair gathered forward, shielding my face, but Bella's hands were there, guiding me back until I slumped against the wall.
Ryder. Baby.
She whispered. Her soft voice was thick with sympathy. It only made the pain worse. I tried to shake my head to rid myself of the unwanted images, to block the screams from my head, but they didn't go away. They only got louder, deafening, racking screams of terror. I rocked forward, pushing my hands over my ears. The water kept coming in heavy torrents, and so did the memories. Two hands wrapped around my wrists, pulling my hands from my head.
Bella,
I whispered, my voice cracking with the strain.
I killed him. I killed him because he murdered them all.
Bella nodded her head, inching closer between my legs until her forehead rested against mine. I cried harder as I felt her warmth drift over me, her soft hands brushing through my hair, gliding over my skin. But I couldn't stop the hurt. I couldn't stop the pain. Their faces won't leave my head, I whispered. I squeezed my eyes shut, but all I saw were the syringes being forced into the children's mouths. Their trusting, innocent eyes never resisting a thing. I choked on a sob. Their screams won't leave me alone. I opened my eyes and raised my hands. I could still see the blood. I could see Judah's blood.
Blood,
I blurted.
Please, wash away the blood.
Bella took hold of my hands. She searched the skin, her fingers running over the thick red fluid pooling in my palm.
Ryder,
she whispered.
There is no blood, baby. It has all gone.
No, I argued, holding my hands higher.
It's still there. I could see it. I brought my palms to hover in front of her face. It's still there. My brother's blood. I could see it. A strangled sound came from Bella. I stilled and blinked away the water from my eyes. Bella, I asked softly. I jerked back my hands as she laid a kiss to my palm. No, I shouted, scrambling to my feet. I slipped on the tile and slammed back down to the floor.
Ryda.
Bella pressed her hands on my shoulders to keep me still. My breathing was erratic as I fought to pull in new gulps of air.
Listen to me,
she implored.
Listen to me,
she repeated when I didn't look up. When I did, she was right before me. Her face mere inches from mine, her legs straddling my waist. Her eyes were locked on mine.
Baby,
she soothed.
You are seeing things that are not there.
She paused as her words sank in. She laid her hand on my cheek.
You are seeing blood, but it is all gone. I have washed it all away. You are clean. Baby, you are free.
I'm not. I tapped the side of my head. The screams and the faces, they're trapped in here. I can't chase them away. I laid my head back against the hard tile. I killed him, Bella. I killed him with my bare hands. And I watched his disbelief that I, his brother, could do it. He died knowing it was me who sent him to hell. Bella didn't say anything in response. Instead, she reached up and turned off the shower. She reached for my hand.
Come with me,
she said softly. I wasn't sure I could move, but as she stood up, the bathroom light flaring behind her like a halo. I knew I would follow her anywhere. She was a damn angel. My fucking angel. Slipping my hand into Bella's, I let her guide me to stand. I swayed on my feet, but I pushed forward, following her out of the shower. She took a towel and began drying every inch of my body. When we were both dry, Bella pulled me from the bathroom to the bed. My legs ached as I lay beside her, staring at her face as she stared into mine. My gaze drifted down over her breasts, her stomach, her legs. I stilled when I saw the scars on her inner thighs. Nausea built in my throat. They were from the Lord Sharings.
They are no more,
she said, and inched closer to me.
Ryda,
she breathed.
There will be no more because of you.
But they all died, I said.
Because of Judah,
she argued. I shook my head. My telling Judah the hangmen were coming changed his plans. It made him do it, Bella. It made him kill them all. He would rather they all died than be saved. Even when all was lost, Judah somehow found a way to make it worse. I smothered a cry. Their faces, Bella, they were so scared. Shh, she said. And she took my lips with her own, her breasts pressing against my chest. I tensed as her lips began to move against mine, but I fell into the kiss as her sweet taste burst on my tongue. Life flared back into my muscles under her touch. I threaded my hands into her hair. Bella moaned into my mouth, and I rolled until I was braced over her body. I broke from her mouth, needing to see her beneath me. As I drew back my head, my pulse raced. Bella's long black hair fanned over the white sheets, and her pupils were wide with need. Need for me. Bella. I ran my hand down her soft cheek. She caught my fingers and brought them to her lips. She kissed the center of my palm and laid it over her heart. My heart took control and my mouth opened. I love you, I whispered, the words coming straight from my soul. Bella's eyelids drifted shut, then a smile pulled on her lips. My heart slammed in my chest. She opened her eyes and stared right into mine.
I love you too, Ryda. As impossible as it is for me to comprehend the concept of loving someone so deeply, I do. With my whole heart, I do.
My cold body felt infused with bright, warm light. I bent down and kissed her just as the sound of rain began hitting the windows. A dull flash lit up the room, followed by the loud crash of distant thunder. But I didn't even flinch at the rolling storm. Bella's gentle hands ran up my back, her tongue brushing against mine. With her, I was safe. I was calm. I swallowed her moans as I shifted between her legs. I groaned deeply as I found her entrance. Bella's hands moved to the backs of my thighs and slowly guided me inside. My arms, braced at the side of her head, shook as I felt her heat wrap around me. My teeth gritted together as I pushed all the way inside her. Bella's head snapped back as I dropped mine and peppered kisses along her slim neck. Her hands threaded in my hair, keeping me close to her skin.
"Ryda," she murmured.
I pulled back my hips, then thrust back inside. I kissed her neck again, then lifted my gaze. Bella's head rolled on the pillow. Her eyes locked on mine, and she obliterated my heart with her smile. In such a short space of time, she had become my everything. My morning, noon, and night. My reason to wake each day. In the end, she had been the greatest blessing I could ever have prayed for. A saint for the ultimate sinner. I reached for her hands. I laced them both through mine and drew them above her head. My face hovered above hers as I moved my hips faster and faster, and I never looked away. I wanted her to see in my eyes exactly what she meant to me. I wanted to replace the horrors in my mind with her stunning face. Those ice blue eyes, the long black lashes, her flawless pale skin, her plump pink lips. I wanted to speak, to tell her everything I felt, but I knew I couldn't open my mouth. My emotions were too high. I just wished I had known her before. I wished so badly I'd met her before I became the man I did, before I ruined lives, before I helped in the murder of hundreds of souls. Bella's face blurred. I blinked, realizing that tears had clouded my eyes. The droplets splashed onto Bella's flushed cheeks. Bella's hand squeezed mine. She lifted our joined hands to my eyes and wiped away the wetness. My heart broke when I saw she was crying too.
"Bella,"
I rasped, stilling. She shook her head and her face tore with pain.
"I cannot bear it, Ryda."
"What?" I asked, lying closer against her, flesh to flesh, heart to heart.
"What you are doing to yourself."
Bella sniffed back her tears.
"The blame, the guilt that you are letting eat you alive."
She searched my eyes.
"Blaming yourself for today? This was your brother. It is what he has always done to you, manipulated you. Even now, in death, he has somehow laid the catastrophe at your feet. And you accept the burden of this blame with open arms."
"Because it's true. I am to blame." Bella stared at me silently. She started rocking her hips in slow, subtle movements. I closed my eyes and let my forehead rest upon hers. Bella freed one of her hands and combed it through my hair. She brought my ear to her lips.
"Then I absolve you from that guilt. If you need someone to forgive you, let me be the one to offer you forgiveness."
Her hips worked faster, my body reacting to the relentless rhythm. But then I cried. I fucking cried as she repeated her words.
"I forgive you, baby. I forgive you for what you have done."
The emotion got trapped in my throat. Bella's breath began breaking into short, sharp gasps.
"Ryda,"
she whispered, as her heart beat a damn symphony against my chest.
"Ryda."
Her hand tightened in my hair. My muscles tensed as I thrust harder, pushing the breath from my lungs. Bella froze in my arms, her breasts pressing into me as her back arched. She cried out into the crook of my neck, pulling me as close as she physically could. The feel of her contracting around me was my undoing. Unable to hold back any longer, I pushed into her three more times and roared out my release, my voice cut and raw, weak from today. I came with her hand in my hair and her voice whispering,
"I forgive you. I love you. It is time to be free."
My head fell into the pillow. For a brief moment, there were no faces in my mind. There were no voices in my ears. There was just us.
"I love you,"
Bella whispered.
"I love you too," I said raggedly. "You have been the only good I've ever known. You've been the heaven I was searching for after all. Not the faith or the prayers, just you. Only you."
Love filled Bella's face, and she shifted beneath me. I moved from inside her and she curled up on the bed. She laid her head on my chest, her arm over my waist. Her warm breath drifted over my skin as I played with her damp hair. The room was silent. Almost as if she was reading my mind, Bella said,
"The men in the bar are quiet. They must have gone to bed, too."
"Yeah," I said in return. Bella's sleepy face tipped up toward me.
"Sleep, baby. Everything will be better tomorrow. Everything is always better when the sun rises again. It will bring a new day. It will lighten the burden from your soul.
My heart squeezed at her words. Her eyes began to drop with sleep. Before they closed, I said, "Thank you, Bella. Thank you for loving me. For it all. You'll never know how much you have meant to me. How much peace you have given me."
"Thank you,"
she smiled.
"Thank you for saving my life."
Bella was asleep in minutes. Her breathing deepened and I knew she was sleeping well, but my eyes stayed open. I watched as the lightning outside grew brighter, the distant storm closing in, the rain beat louder on the windows, and the thunder growled up ahead. I looked at the clock on the table and took a deep breath. I had to go. I gently moved Bella from my body and laid her back on the mattress. I froze as she moved in her sleep, but her breathing evened out again. I looked down at the woman who had stolen my heart. I tried to drink in her every feature, commit every part of her to memory. I would never forget this night. In all my life, I had never truly been told I was loved. 8 letters, 3 simple words that smashed into your soul with the force and devastation of a comet. "I love you," I whispered, needing to tell her again. "Happiness is waiting for you, baby. Only good from now on. Only freedom." I padded over to the bathroom and picked up my leathers from the floor. I didn't even care that they were covered in dried blood. It wouldn't matter soon enough. I couldn't look at Bella as I crept out of the room. I hadn't bothered with a shirt. My feet were bare. The bar was a ghost town as I walked through. Glasses abandoned half-finished. Pool games half-played. I went out of the back exit and into the yard. The warm rain pelted down as I headed down the grass verge. My feet sank into the wet, muddy ground. My hair stuck to my back. With every step I took, I pictured Bella in my head. And I smiled. I smiled for the life she would have, the things she would do and see, the person she would love. And as much as it pained me to think of her doing these things without me, loving someone else, it brought a peace to my heart that I never thought I would ever feel. Bella free. Safe. It was good. I saw the dim light up ahead as I broke through the line of trees. The door of the old barn was already open and waiting for me. I counted my steps as I approached. In 20 steps, I made it to the door. I paused at the threshold. I closed my eyes, took a deep breath, and walked inside. The barn was silent as I roved my eyes around the room. One by one, the brothers turned to see me. I met each of their eyes as they stood, some to the left, some to the right, a man-made path leading the way to where they wanted me to pay. I took a deep breath and walked forward. The brothers, all dressed in leathers and cuts, watched me as I passed, but I kept my eyes straight forward. The sound of hands twisting on crowbars and the clanging of knives accompanied my journey. I arrived at the front. I tipped my head up and saw 2 chains hanging from the roof. Metal cuffs hung at their ends. I moved directly under the chains, then turned to face the brothers. A sea of my former friends glared back at me. The humid storm brought sweat to their faces, their bare chests. Most were covered in residual blood, having not showered after the massacre at the commune. I supposed there was no point. I looked over the brothers I'd hurt with my actions. AK, Tank, Bull, Viking, Flame. I saw the new brothers I'd never got the chance to know. Hush, Cowboy, Tanner. And then there was Smiler. He was standing to the back of the brothers, a fucking tormented expression on his face. His long brown hair was tied back, and he held nothing in his hand. My stomach fell. He was the only one. Smiler was the only fucking one. He had been a true friend to me. Even now, after everything, one I hadn't ever deserved. Unable to look into his pained eyes any longer, I moved my attention to Kai and Styx. The Prez and VP were standing side by side at the front of the crowd. Styx was bare-chested, not even wearing a cut. I could see why. A large swastika scar covered his chest, the one that my deception had caused, and in his hand was his German knife. His favorite knife. He glared at me. But I didn't glare back. Instead, I looked at Kai. The blonde-haired brother stepped forward. Without being asked, I held up my arms. Kai moved to the lever on the wall and pulled it down, all without glancing away from me. I heard the chains moving down from above.
Kai walked to me and shackled my wrists. When he moved away, I looked straight forward and fixed my stare in place. The levers sounded again, and the chains began to pull on my arms. I gritted my teeth as the chains dragged my arms up until my shoulders screamed out in pain. My body lifted until my toes were an inch off the ground. The chains locked. I was ready. Sticks came forward first. The only noises were the thunder and rain outside, and the sound of flame pacing back and forth on the old floor. Sticks lifted his knife and placed the tip at my sternum. I closed my eyes. I closed my eyes and pictured Bella's face. I needed the strength for what this night would bring, because this death would not be quick, and I agreed that it shouldn't be. Then came the blistering pain of the blade being dragged down my flesh. I tried to breathe through the pain, my jaw aching with how tightly I was gritting my teeth. The blade was released, and I opened my eyes, only to meet a crazed Hazel stare. Sticks panted in victory as he brought the blade to the side of my chest. This time I kept my eyes open while he completed the sign of the cross on my torso. My blood trickled down my chest, and my arms jerked in agony as my skin was ripped open. My shoulders screamed at the strain of holding my heavy body, but I fought back the shouts that were threatening to tear from my throat. I would take it. I would fucking take it all. Sticks moved away, his chest shining with sweat. Kai came next, dressed in only his pants and cut. His fists were wrapped in thick chains. The VP drew his arm back and sent blow after blow across my face, my ribs and stomach. My head snapped back at the attack. My body swung on the chains. But he was far from done. I was a turncoat. It was time to pay my penance to Hades with no coins on my eyes. As Kai's blows subsided, I saw the brothers all gathering to take their revenge. I closed my eyes again, and this time vowed never to open them. Instead, I pictured Bella's face. I pictured her eyes, her lips, and her smile. I imagined her touch, her whispered words, her confession of love. And even as the taste of my own blood filled my mouth, I smiled. Because at least I'd known what true love really was. I kept that feeling in my heart. I kept that warmth in my chest. Until the pain from the brothers' blows all but faded away. Until the darkness I deserved began creeping in.
Chapter 17. Bella. I jumped awake as a loud crack of thunder sounded directly above me. I blinked into the dark room, struggling to get my bearings. The bedroom in the clubhouse. Memories of earlier drifted into my mind, and I smiled. I love you, he had said. My rider. My rider. Stretching out my hand, I searched for my husband. I frowned when I was met with cold sheets. I lifted my head and cast my gaze around the moonlit room. Nothing. I jerked upright. My heart, for some reason, was pounding in my chest. Ryder? I said quietly. No response came. Jumping from the bed, I rushed to the bathroom. But it was all quiet. I flicked on the light and bent down to search through his clothes. His pants were gone. His boots and shirt were still where I had left them. I did not understand it, but a feeling of dread burgeoned in my chest. I slipped on my long black dress and put on my sandals. I rushed through the door, searching the hallway. The clubhouse was silent. I passed through the bar. There was no one in sight. Where are you? I whispered aloud. Acting on instinct, I bolted out of the door and into the yard. The rain poured over my head, but I did not care. I had to find Ryder. Something was not right. I could feel it. I took off through the woods towards May's home, my sandals slipping on the wet ground. I ran and I ran, pushing my legs as fast as they would go. By the time her home came into view, I was struggling to breathe. But I had to get help. I just knew I needed help. By the time I arrived, I was drenched. I slammed my hand on the door. May! I called out, screaming to be heard over the storm. May! The door opened, and May stood before me in her red nightdress. Bella? She asked, looking at my soaked state. Is your fiancé here? I asked. May frowned. No, he said he had business to attend to. My heart beat faster, and I backed away from the door. Lila. I had to try Lila's. I jumped off the porch and ran up the hill to Lila's house. Bella, Wait! I heard May call out after me, but I could not stop. Lila's door opened before I could even knock. She slipped out onto the porch and shut the door. Bella? She glanced behind her. Grace is sleeping. I could hear your frantic voice all the way from May's house. Is Kai here? I asked hurriedly. Lila shook her head. He is attending to business tonight. I shook my head and my chest began to burn with the threat of tears. No, I whispered, just as May, Sister Ruth, and Brother Stephen came rushing up the path to Lila's home. Bella, May said and came to my side. I turned to my sister. Ryder, he is missing. I turned back to Lila. Styx and Kai are missing too. I placed my hands on my head. We were sleeping and he snuck out. Why would he sneak out? He only took his pants. He did not even dress for wherever he was going. My heart sank as I glanced through the thick forest of trees. From the height of Lila's home, I could see to the bottom of the verge. No, I whispered when I saw dim lights in the distance. The barn, I said under my breath. No, I started running. Bella, I heard May call. Ruth, Stephen, stay here with Grace. Lila, come with me. We need to get Maddie. I heard my sisters talking behind me, but I could only focus on my destination. My eyes locked on the barn as I sprinted through the mud and the rain. Branches slapped at my face and fallen twigs sliced at my feet, but I did not care. They had Ryder. They had my Ryder. I just knew it. Ryder, I whispered as I tried to increase my speed. What have you done? My lungs were starved of breath, but I pushed the uncomfortable feeling aside. I finally arrived at the rickety building on my right. The dim light from inside escaped through the cracks in the wooden walls. I could see movement from inside. People were in there. Ryder. Pushing my oxygen-starved muscles to move, I darted for the door. I felt like time had slowed to half speed. I reached for the door handle, and it seemed to take forever for me to grasp the knob. I opened the door. The sight before me knocked all the newfound happiness from my heart. No, I whispered as my eyes fixed on the end of the room. Ryder. Ryder. Bruised, slashed, and beaten, hanging from chains. His head had flopped down to his chest, his wet brown hair hanging in clumps over his blood-soaked chest. Stop! I screamed and ran into the room. I threw up my hands and began pushing loud, excited, bloodthirsty men from my path. My breath was knocked out of me as their large bodies collided with mine, but I would not stop. My ears filled with the sound of my rushing blood as I plowed toward the front of the crowd. I broke through the last of the men and stopped before Ryder. Ryder, I cried when I saw him up close. His body hung at an odd angle. A giant cross was carved into his torso, and his face was bloodied and swollen. Ryder, I cried, louder this time. His eyes tried to open at the sound of my voice. When I heard the men quieten behind me, my intense sorrow morphed into a surge of anger, such uncontrollable anger that I could not contain my wrath. I spun around and faced the men that had so wickedly, so cruelly savaged the one I loved. They were panting with exertion, high from the adrenaline of their sick torture. I backed up and up again until my spine was almost at Ryder's front. I held my hands out to my sides. They would not get to him again. May's love, Styx, stepped forward, his bare chest spattered with Ryder's blood, a dirty knife in his hand. His green eyes were lit with vengeful fire, and they narrowed on me. Lila's husband came up beside him. He had chains around his fists, Ryder's blood masking the silver metal. My teeth gritted together, and I hissed, "Get back! Do not dare come any closer!" All the brothers closed in. I knew it was to frighten me. But what they did not know was that they were far from the worst thing I had ever faced in my life. And right then, the only thing that scared me was the thought of them taking my love from my life. Bella, get the fuck gone, Kai ordered in a harsh, menacing voice. He was breathing deeply, his blonde hair damp with sweat. I shook my head and moved further back. Ryder's legs brushed against my spine, and my heart fell when the simple touch of my body on his elicited a pained moan from his mouth. Bella, Kai growled again, fucking move! No! I shouted back and pushed my arms out further, shielding Ryder from them. If you want him, you will have to go through me first.
That can be fucking arranged, darling.
A giant red-headed man was glaring at me.
Your boy here is fucking paying the price for being a rat. The fucker has to pay. He made that deal with us when he put on that patch 5 years ago. He knows what needs to be done.
No, I said again. You will not hurt him anymore. The red-headed man laughed sardonically.
Yeah, we fucking will. You weigh about 100 pounds soaking wet, sugar. You ain't stopping us. Your man here is gonna die. That's the price he's willing to pay. Tonight, he crosses to Hades.
The color drained from my face, but I held strong. I held strong as two of the men began advancing my way. Then a loud gasp sounded from the back of the room. I looked to the doorway to see May, Lila, and Maddie rush into the barn. My sisters' mouths fell open as they took in the scene before them. May came forward first, pushing through the thick gathering of men. Her blue eyes looked up at Ryder and filled with tears.
Bella, she said in a pained voice.
My lord,
what have they done?
Styx took her by the wrist and yanked her to his side. Lila's and Maddie's husbands followed suit, pulling their wives into their arms and away from me.
Bella, Maddie whispered, shaking her head at the sight of Ryder hanging from the unyielding chains.
Kai broke through the silence. Enough, he shouted, then faced me.
Bella, I don't give a fuck who you are. And Lila,
he turned to face his wife, then May and Maddie.
You know not to fuck with club business.
Styx began to sign something, and I watched as my sister read his hands. Her head dropped in worry. Kai crossed his arms over his broad, muscled chest.
You need to leave. He tipped his head at Ryder. He fucked with us. Now he pays with his fucking life. Don't expect you to understand, but that's the fucking way it is. Bitch or not, you ain't got no fucking say. Tonight he dies, and he dies real fucking slow.
I shook my head in utter disbelief of their cruelty and let my fury free.
No, I bellowed in his face. It is you who does not understand.
Kai raised one eyebrow, but I did not care for his condescension. I would speak. I was tired of being silenced by men. I would speak and they would listen.
Do you know what he has been through? Do you even care what his life has been like? Have you ever questioned why he has done what he has done? Have you ever wondered what it was like for him to be brought up the way he was? No, not one of you have. If you had, you would not be doing this to him.
We couldn't give a fuck how he was raised.
One of the brothers, the man with the shaved head, Tank, said. I met the sorrowful eyes of my sisters, safe in their men's arms, and I laughed. But the laugh held absolutely no trace of humor. I looked up at Ryder, and my soul ached. They did not care.
How could they not care?
How could you not care? I found myself asking aloud. How do you stand here and tell me you do not care about his life when your women have endured a similar fate?
I looked at Styx.
May was brought up in the same way. Conditioned from birth to act a certain way, believe certain things.
I looked at Kai.
Lila was segregated from her family, and they never cared that she was ripped from their arms, because they believed she was created by the devil.
I pointed at Lila's face.
My sister scarred her own face because of what happened to her in the commune, because of what we were ingrained to believe.
Kai shook with rage and pointed at Ryder.
By his fucking hand! He had her raped, bitch. Have you lost your fucking mind?
He didn't, I snapped back. His brother did. You can lay the blame at his feet for what he has done, but he did not condone those acts. He did not order those crimes. Even your wife believes that, though she is too terrified to tell you to your face.
Kai whipped his head to look at Lila. She kept her head down.
And Maddie, I said in a gentler voice. What was done to her was the worst of all.
Flame, her husband, bared his teeth in response and clutched her to his chest.
Judah, Ryder's brother, would have no doubt put children through the same abuse as she suffered. But he did not get the chance because of Ryder. and Ryder was thrown in prison because he killed a man for taking a child. He endured daily beatings because he fought for what was right. He saved the life of a woman he barely knew because he could not see yet another innocent be tormented under the guise of God. He brought me back to my sisters because all he wanted me to be was happy. And he willingly walked through your gates of hell, knowing he would die.
My lips trembled, and I faced my sisters, each one of them.
If I had known my return would have meant sacrificing his tormented soul to your unforgiven men, I never would have allowed it.
May's eyes widened.
We wanted freedom and kindness.
All I have seen since I came here is cruelty and vengeful bloodlust.
I stepped forward, my legs threatening to buckle. I forced them to stay strong. They would not see me fall. Sighing, I addressed Styx.
Not one of you blamed my sisters for being so conditioned to the Order's ways. You pitied them, gave them safety and guidance in the outside world, but because Ryder is a man, you show him no mercy.
Hot tears fell from my eyes, and I coughed back an angry sob.
He was taken from his parents, raised in isolation. He was alone his entire life, with only his evil, manipulative twin by his side. He never had anyone to care, to love him in the way he deserved to be loved.
I breathed deeply.
We cursed sisters at least had each other. He had only his brother, the brother he just killed to save us, to save all of you.
I walked back to Ryder, almost breaking when I saw a tear fall from the only eye he could force open. I lifted my hand and laid it on his waist.
I love you,
I whispered, then turned around, all my strength gone.
He killed the only person he had in his life because he knew the world would be a better place without him.
I stared at Kai.
Could you kill Styx with your bare hands if you felt you must?
I shook my head.
You could not. Just like I could never kill May, Lila, or Maddie. But Ryder did. And I now realize that he did so knowing he would give himself up to you. To torture. To punish. And to kill.
I wiped away my tears.
But if you take him from me, then you will take away my heart.
I met my sister's eyes.
You will take away my reason for living.
Against the odds, we found one another in hell. I will not let you take him from me when we have finally completed the treacherous journey to heaven's gates.
And if you do, then you can kill me too.
My head dropped and I sagged in defeat. But I meant what I had said. I had not come this far to live without him.
He deserves to live, I whispered. A man who would risk everything to atone for his sins to such a degree.
A man who would sacrifice himself so others could live deserves to be saved.
How?
My breath hitched.
How can you not see that? How can you be so cold?
I stepped back until I was at Ryder's legs. I stood my ground. I would not move unless they either freed him or killed me first. The brothers all stared at me, then looked to one another. Kai eventually inched forward, an unforgiving harshness in his stare, and my stomach plummeted. I could see his answer. Ryder would die. Then I would die too.
Bella, Kai said sternly, move the fuck!
Kai's words cut off when Lila moved from his protection, walked forward, and joined me at my side. I stared at my sister in astonishment. Lila cast me a watery smile and threaded her hand through mine. Lila looked directly at her husband, who was staring at her, open-mouthed.
Lie!
He moved toward her, but she held out her hand and shook her head.
After what that prick let happen to you? Kai asked. After all the shit we've been through since you came back from that hell?
He tried to save Phoebe. She trusted him, believed in him, and he saved Grace so that our lives could be blessed with a child of our own.
Kai gripped onto his hair and shouted,
And he let you get gang-fucking-raped, burned, lashed, and raped.
I flinched as he shouted those words, but Lila stayed calm.
It happened to me, she said softly, and my chest bloomed with pride.
Lila met her husband's tortured gaze. It all happened to me. And I choose to forgive him. I choose to see his life spared. I will not see any more blood spilled in my honor. Lila sniffled lightly. The commune is gone because of him. He killed so that we would have life. He saved Grace from Judah so that we could have her as our own. Kai turned his head away. I caught a flicker of movement from my left. I braced myself, expecting someone to try to get to Ryder amid the distraction. Instead, I saw Maddie push out of her husband's arms. Flame dove forward to pull his wife back. Maddie turned, and with a strength I'd never heard from her before, shouted, "No!" Flame staggered back in shock as he watched Maddie come toward me. She nodded her head at me and took hold of Lila's hand. A wall. We had created a protective wall around my husband. Maddie straightened her shoulders.
"Maddie,"
Flame whispered in a sad, guttural voice. Maddie met her husband's eyes.
"I love you, Flame, but I will not lose my sister. I will not let Ryder be killed. I am sick and tired of all the hurt and pain."
"He hurt you. He took you from me," Flame snarled.
Maddie shook her head.
"No, he let me go. His brother took me from you. His brother, whom he killed to save us."
She placed her hand over her chest.
"Flame, by hurting Ryder, you will hurt me, deep in my heart."
Flame's black eyes flared.
"No," he said. "I don't want you to be fucking hurt. It's not gonna fucking happen."
"I know you don't," she said and smiled, nothing but love in her eyes.
Flame looked around at his brothers, then threw his blades to the ground. He turned to the red-headed man beside him and took the bar from his hand. The dark-haired man on the other side shook his head, but threw his bloodied blade down too. Flame faced the men and screamed, "Throw down your fucking weapons or I'll kill you all where you stand. None of you will touch Maddie, not a single one."
A flicker of hope built within me as the brothers began looking at one another uncertainly. Then my heart almost burst as May stepped out from behind Styx's shadow. Styx didn't move as he watched his fiancée walk toward me.
"May,"
I said softly.
May stopped in front of me and looked up at Ryder hanging from the chains.
"A man who sacrifices everything for the woman he loves deserves to be saved. I wholeheartedly agree. But more than that," May smiled at me and kissed my cheek,
"he deserves someone brave to fight for him, to show him he is good when he believes he is not. He deserves you, just as much as you deserve him."
Turning to Styx, she said,
"To get Ryder, you must go through Bella."
She inhaled, then said firmly,
"And to get to Bella, you will have to go through all of us."
May took hold of my hand. As one linked unit, we faced the so-called Devil's Men, the cursed sisters of Eve, protecting the fallen false prophet of the Order. And I had never felt so free.
"Prez?"
Someone finally spoke.
"Are you just gonna stand here and let this fucking happen? These bitches ain't got no place here. They got no fucking say."
But Styx did not answer. He stayed fixed on May, his arms crossed over his chest and his jaw as rigid as his tense body. Ryder let out a low groan and I spun my head around.
"Help me," I said to my sisters urgently.
I rushed to Ryder and tried to reach his chains. May moved to the wall, and I saw her pull down on a lever. The chains groaned loudly as they began lowering him down. I reached out and caught his broken body in my arms.
"The keys," Lila said to May.
May retrieved them from a hook on the wall and brought them to Ryder's wrists. My sisters undid the cuffs as I leaned over his swelling, injured face. His one open eye tracked me deliriously. He groaned when one of his arms fell free from the chain. I rubbed the muscles with my hand, trying to get the blood to flow back to his limbs.
"Bella," Ryder said huskily, "you should have let me die."
I shook my head.
"Never, baby, never."
A tear seeped from his eye. I wiped it away with my thumb.
"Help me move him," I said to Maddie.
She moved to Ryder's other side and we tried to lift him off the floor. Ryder hissed in pain.
"He is too heavy," Maddie said sadly.
Lila and May looked on hopelessly, but one was injured and the other pregnant. I would not let them harm themselves.
It is okay, I said.
I stroked back Ryder's long hair from sticking to the wound on his chest.
I will stay here with him. Bring me water and bandages.
I took hold of his hand.
I will stay here with him until he can walk again. Until he can walk away from this hell of a place.
Bella, May said, and I could hear the sadness in her voice. I loved my sisters, but she knew I was not going to live here without Ryder. I would not live in a place of hate. Never again. I looked up, about to plead my sisters to do as I asked, when someone began pushing through from the back of the crowd of men. Low murmurs came from the brothers. A long-haired man stepped toward us. I crouched over Ryder to shield him from whatever this man was about to do. The man held up his hands.
Smiler? May said.
My head snapped up. Smiler, Ryder's old best friend. He inched forward.
Can I?
He asked. Lila smiled at me and nodded her head. I trusted her completely. Still holding Ryder's hand, I leaned back and let Smiler in. He crouched down and wrapped his arms around Ryder's back. He pulled him up. I helped hold up Ryder's other side. I looked across at Smiler, and my heart ached. His clothes were clean. He had no weapon. He had no bloodstains on his chest. He had not taken part in the punishment.
We need to get him to my room, Smiler said, taking the brunt of Ryder's weight as we carried him forward.
I felt my sisters walking strong behind me, and the feeling that washed over me almost brought me to my knees. As lost as I had felt in this outside world, as distant as I felt from the women they were now, this blew all those worries away. We left the barn, and Smiler flicked his head at a vehicle close by.
Get him in the truck. I'll drive him up to the clubhouse.
Ryder's feet dragged on the muddy ground as we struggled to support his weight, but we got him into the truck, his head cradled in my lap. As Smiler pulled away, I stared down at Ryder and stroked his wet hair. His one open eye was once more fixed on me. The white of that eye was red raw. Even in his fractured stare, I could see his love for me shining through. But to my sadness, I could also see regret. He had wanted to die. Still wanted to die. I bent down and kissed his forehead.
I will not let that happen,
I whispered, for his ears only.
I will not let you be alone ever again.
Ryder's eye closed, and he slipped into a deep sleep. We got him into Smiler's room in the clubhouse. He slept on the bed as Smiler, apparently a novice medic, stitched his wounds. My sisters and I, in silence, cleaned my husband's wounds. As his blood washed away on the white rags, I prayed that the cleansing water would bring with it a rebirth. I was not sure how much pain Ryder felt he needed to endure to finally be redeemed, but I knew, we all knew, he had suffered enough. I just needed him to believe it too, because I loved him, and I would gladly be his redemption, if he would finally forgive himself first.
Chapter 18 Sticks. What the fuck? Viking spat as we heard Smiler's truck speed away from the barn. I hadn't moved. I hadn't fucking moved one step. My chest muscles were about to rip from the tension. Kai ran his hand down his face. What the fuck now? The bastard hasn't paid for turning coat. I stared at the blood pool on the floor beneath the chains. But my vision blurred till all I was seeing was May holding Bella's hand, her eyes fixed on mine. I ain't ever seen her so fucking determined about anything as she was in that moment. As pissed as I was, my fucking black heart swelled with pride, too. She'd had Bella's back. All fucking four of them stood protecting that piece of shit's life. Like fucking beautiful warriors. I turned to face the brothers who were all watching me. Tank flicked his chin.
We can't let him live, Prez.
My jaw clenched. May. Fucking May. I hadn't known she would ever rise up against me. But then I hadn't known what she would do for her sisters. Now I fucking did. AK ran his hand over the nape of his neck.
Smiler, the little fuck. What the hell was he doing? The fucker just met all our eyes with zero fucking shame as he carted the rat out of here. I remembered. But more than that, I remembered how May had walked behind him, clutching Lila in Maddie's hands, never once looking my way. Helping his brother, Cowboy replied from where he rested against the barn's wall. The laid-back Cajun had his arms crossed over his muscled chest and his foot resting against the wood. He looked fucking bored, unlike the rest of the brothers. Cowboy pointed at Hush beside him. "Would never see me cutting this guy up in revenge." He shook his head. "Don't fucking care if he shot up a whole fucking town. I wouldn't fucking do it." He flicked his chin in the direction of the door. "Smiler never took one strike at Ryder. Thinking he still sees him as family. Thinking he forgives him, too." Viking laughed.
"Think it's about time you go change your tampon, Cowboy. You being on the rag this heavy is making you real fucking emotional."
Cowboy smiled a cold smile at Viking. "Say what you want, brother. But you ain't gonna be putting a blade through Flame or AK's head anytime soon. You'd fucking die for them first." Viking stuck his finger up at Cowboy. Cowboy tipped the edge of his Stetson in response. The Cajun was dead right. I looked at Bull and signed, "Get the prospects to clean this place up." I stormed toward the door, but before I got there, Viking said,
"So what, Press? We're just gonna let him get away with all the shit he's done?"
My back tensed as I heard the pissed-off tone in his voice. But I didn't reply. I walked forward, but Vike spoke again.
"You're the fucking hangman, Prez. You can't be letting your piece of pussy stop this kill. Tonight was a fucking joke. You should have grabbed all y'all bitches by their hair and threw them outside. Pussy don't interfere with hangman business. You just stood there like a dick and let them take him."
Rage must have made me black out or some shit, because the next thing I knew I had his huge fucking pale body up against the wall, my hands squeezing the air from his fucking throat. I could hear the brother's shouts from behind me. But I didn't fucking care. All my attention was on this fuck. His eyes locked on mine as his face reddened. The anger searing through me forced words from my fucking defective mouth. You wanna be the fucking press? You wanna take this shit from my hands? I slammed my free hand over the press patch on my cut. You want this? Cause I'm sick of all this shit. My fingers piled more pressure onto his throat. Leaning closer, I said, You ever mention May again, and I'll kill you. Viking's eyes bulged. I dropped my arm and watched the fucker fall. I whipped around to face my brothers with my arms spread wide. They were silently staring at me in shock.
Anyone else wanna fucking say something?
I roared, my lips curling in fucking rage. No fucker said a thing. Dropping my arms, I fucking hightailed it into the rain, letting the water wash the blood from my skin. I heard the sound of footsteps chasing me, and it was no surprise to me that it was Kai. My best friend joined me at my side. I turned to the thick wood of trees and began cutting through to my cabin.
"Fuck, Sticks," he said. "You just fucking spoke. The brothers have just stood there like zombies, fucking dumbstruck."
I kept pounding forward. My pulse was slamming in my neck.
"Shit!"
he screamed and balled his hands into fists.
"Our old men would be rolling in their fucking graves at the shit that just happened. We can't let our bitches do that again. The brothers were right. Hell, our old men would have slapped the fuck out of their women for pulling a move like that. That can't happen. They need to keep their mouths shut."
I didn't respond. I just moved faster.
"Sticks!" Kai called as he followed me up the wet verge. "Sticks!"
I spun around and shouted,
"What the fuck do you expect me to do?
The rain poured down my face and I yanked my hand through my hair. Knowing I couldn't speak for shit right now, I signed. "You gonna kick the fuck out of Lila for that shit show? You think Flame is gonna lock Mads away and beat her for going against him?" I tensed my jaw. No, the fucker would kill any brother who even expected it of him. And don't for a second think that I wouldn't kill any prick in this club who wanted to punish May in my place. A growl rattled in my chest. I'd fucking murder them, Kai. Any fucker tries to even speak to her about that fucking interruption, and I'll fucking rip out their tongues. I pointed at Kai. and we both fucking know you ain't gonna do shit to lie. So you tell me, brother, what the fuck do we do now? 'Cause Bella ain't gonna let us get near that cunt, and May, Madge, and Lai ain't gonna watch us tear Bella out of the fucking way to get to him either. Kai sighed and leaned back against a tree.
It's the rules, Styx. He needs to be killed. Ain't no hangman rat ever been spared since the club was founded. We gonna be the first to let this shit go?
He huffed a humorless laugh.
We'd be fucking laughed at.
Fuck, I know, I signed, managing to calm the fuck down. Those brothers in there want blood. Our bitches want us to crush the kill.
Kai shook his head.
We can't. The debt needs to be paid. I moved to the tree opposite Kai and leaned against it. All I could fucking think of was what Bella had spewed about us forgiving May, Lai, and Mads, and how if it came down to it, if I would kill Kai. If he'd kill me.
Would you do it?
Kai watched my hands.
If you had to kill me, could you do it?
Kai looked away into the black woods. I didn't think the brother would answer. Then he shook his head.
No. Not a fucking chance.
I closed my eyes and thought back to watching Ryder as he choked his twin to death on the commune floor. The fucking look on his face as he watched him thrash beneath him. The hundreds of bodies surrounding him as he killed his fucking blood. Jesus fucking Christ.
These bitches are making seeping wet pussies out of us. You know that, right?
Kai said, and I opened my eyes. Kai was smirking as he stared at me. My chest fucking lightened as I smirked back.
We were stronger before, Kai said.
And this time he lost his smile.
Before the women. You and me were unbreakable. A fucking ruthless unit now.
He shrugged. You telling me you wish you'd never met Lai? I signed. Kai's eyes moved to the direction of his cabin and that fucking smile was back.
No. Fuck. I should. After that shit they did tonight, I should, but I can't. That fucking bitch is my kryptonite.
He huffed.
She fucking knows it, too. And now I got Grace.
The brother shook his head.
Fuck, Styx. I just got what I thought we would never get. I ain't gonna fuck up now. You saw the change in Lai as much as I did. She's happy, Prez. She's fucking happy.
I thought of May in that damn sonogram room weeks ago, and I fucking knew what he meant. 'Cause Christ, she was fucking happy too. I'm going inside, I sighed and pushed myself off the tree.
Yeah,
Kai said and turned toward his cabin. Just as he was about to disappear from my sight, I said,
Kai!
He walked back and tipped his head.
I'm really fucking happy
for you, brother.
Grace,
you deserve her. Kai's lips curled into a smile and nodded his head.
You ain't going soft to me, are you, man? Like, you ain't expecting me to fucking man-hug you or some shit.
I shook my head and gave him the finger. Kai laughed and walked to his cabin. When I pushed through my front door, the place was silent. I had to take deep breaths to stop myself going up to the clubhouse and tearing May away from Ryder. If I went near him, I'd kill him. I took a bottle of beer from the bar and kicked off my boots. I slumped onto the couch and took a swig of my drink. The house was too fucking quiet. I was used to hearing May laugh, or her soft voice singing some Dylan somewhere. I reached for the remote and flicked on the TV. I froze. The first thing that greeted me was a helicopter view of the fucking commune. Cops were swarming all over the land, the dead bodies still scattered around. AK had called in the information to the cops as an anonymous tip. Looked like the fuckers finally found New Zion. The ticker along the bottom of the news channel read, Mass suicide at Austin-based Doomsday Cult. Even from the distant camera angles, I could see the one fucker in a white tunic at the front of all the bodies. Judah. Motherfucking Judah. Who Ryder killed with his fucking bare hands. Fuck. I tipped my head back, closing my eyes. I heard a gasp from the back of the room. I opened my eyes and saw May standing in the doorway, watching the scenes on the TV. She edged forward, taking in the mass of bodies. A close-up of Judah came on screen and May stilled.
Oh God,
she whispered as she saw the shit show that was her old life in Technicolor. Her fucking wolf eyes shimmered with tears.
Shit. She looked exhausted. Her long hair was wet from the storm. May blinked.
That could have been us. That would have been us had we not gotten out.
May seemed to snap herself out of her fucking trance, then looked at me. Her cheeks drained of color, but she schooled her fucking features and straightened her spine. I almost smirked as she stood defiantly before me, just like she had